Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Okay, so welcome to the Truth to Power show on Radio Free Brooklyn. We are streaming live for a portion of the show. So we're recording in 100 Bogart Street in Bushwick, New York. Great, great. So we're here with Grey Wolf from Death by Piano.
What's up?
Hey, hey. So Death by Piano is a Brooklyn-based duo comprised of singer-keyboardist Kaylin Lister and producer-instrumentalist Grey Wolf. Death by Piano mixes the sounds of their native borough, electronic beats, distinctive analog instrumentation, and thick brew of strings and synths, sifted through their reconstructive filter, centered by Kaylin's voice and expansive, lush voice. Okay, great. So we're here with Grey Wolf. I keep saying Death Wolf, but it's probably another possible name. But I like the name Grey Wolf. And so why don't we start off with Death by Piano and how you started the band, how you guys started the band. Kaylin couldn't come here today, but it's good to have you and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. So, good to be here. So let's talk about the origin a little bit. Kaylin and I used to be in another band a few years back. And it was funny because, you know, these things always come up so casually. You know, the two of us always loved electronic music and would often joke about starting some sort of side project. And one day she comes up to me and blurts out, "All right, it's going to be called Death by Piano. That's the name of the project." So I was like, "Oh, that's a cool name. Yeah, okay, well, whatever, you know, hypothetical project."
Yeah.
So, you know, some time goes by, the band breaks up, and, you know, immediately she hits me up and she goes, "Well, how about this Death by Piano thing?" And I was like, "Well, you know, let's do it." And, you know, here we are.
Good, good. So tell us a little bit more about the collaboration aspects of it and your roles.
All right. So this is a very collaborative project, probably the most collaborative project I've done to date. And it's cool because, you know, a lot of times I'll send Kaylin a track or an instrumental and, you know, she'll in her own space fill in, you know, vocal parts and melodies and synths and such. And it'll kind of be this creative volley that'll happen over the course of weeks, maybe months. And it's cool, like, because as collaborative as it is, we both kind of get to live with the material in our own space. So it becomes very personal.
Good. So now the some of the reviews I was reading, I came to listen to your band play, but also just looking at the reviews and what they were saying about it. They sometimes term it as a synth pop noir. We're going to listen to a song in a little bit, but I believe you put the genre as dark wave, right? Can you talk a little bit about the genre and the influences?
Yes. Oh, man. All right. So dark wave. So a few influences. Before influences, I'll give you the reasons behind the name itself. So, you know, obviously dark's a given, you know, our music.
Yeah.
It comes from a dark place. I mean, even more specifically, it comes from a very personal place.
Mm.
And you know, I like to think that our music's about real life, not about some sort of, you know, fictional story. So, you know, you're going to get the ugliness and the darkness, but, you know, you're going to get light too. So you have the dark part and then the wave. We draw a lot of influence from hip hop, from synth pop, and even from, you know, EDM music.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of put all those subgenres together. And to us, that's dark wave.
Electronic dance music, was it referring to EDM? Is it electronic dark or electronic dance, or what is EDM again?
Yeah, you know, I guess it's kind of a blanket term, but yeah, like, you know, when I say EDM, like, you know, I'm thinking of electronic, like, you know, like trap music.
Trap music, okay, yeah.
You know.
Good, good. So, now, growing up, what kind of music did you listen to, or what was your influences like, Isaac, and how did it change over the years?
Oh, man, so I'd say, like, the first music I really enjoyed was punk rock.
Uh-huh. At what age?
I started really getting into music around, like, 11 years old. I started getting really interested in music. So, yeah, punk rock was the first thing because it was so accessible. Like, it was really easy, and I started playing the bass. That was my first instrument.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was super easy. I mean, within 3 months, I was in a band. And, you know, we're playing like...
At 12? Or what was this? When was this?
Oh, man. I was like, yeah, I was like 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I'm starting to like, you know, playing like in a garage or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was... There's something so accessible and so kind of just like easy about it. Like, you know, you could jump right into it. So that attracted me. And then I guess even more than that, the energy... And I guess like the aggression about it, like there's something very, it's the word cathartic about the music. So that drew me in further. So that was definitely like the earliest of my influence.
Good, good. So, and I had a change over the years after that.
Oh, man. So, so over the years, I started to become less close-minded and less, because it was just all like, oh, just punk rock, just, you know, that's all I want to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, that was the clique I was part of. And then, you know, I started to branch out and listen to, you know, hip-hop and, you know, just progressive music and even like jazz.
Yeah.
And you know, I started to really branch out in terms of taste. And you know, it was interesting about, like, because, you know, you think about punk and you think about the subgenres, like that became emo and that became hardcore.
Yeah.
And then that became like, I guess, quote unquote indie.
Yeah.
And, you know, from there, you know, it kind of has just exploded and become almost amorphous in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
which I think is kind of cool. And everyone's crossing over. So I guess that's kind of how, I guess, like the timeline of my influence.
Good, good. So we're going to end the live stream in a minute or two, but I just want to say you're releasing your EP today, which is the Countdown, right? It's going to be available on all these different platforms like, I guess, Bandcamp, iTunes, and all that.
Yeah. It's going to be available everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music,
good.
Bandcamp, iTunes, all that.
So I encourage people to go check it out. I'm going to end the live stream, but also, now we're going to be listening to a track from the EP. I want to start off with a discussion of Jolene, which is a song that Dolly Parton had done, and then you guys, I guess, reinvented it or reimagined it, or kind of talk a little bit about how the selection of that song and how that resonated with you guys. Yeah.
Oh, man. So it was one of those cases where the song actually chose us.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really unique situation. I'd been working on a new instrumental for just a brand new song, and I sent it to Kaylin. And, you know, instead of writing a part, she sang the verse of Jolene over it.
Wow.
And sent it back to me. And at first I was confused because I'm like, well, this is Jolene. What does this have to do with the song? And then after like third listen, I was like, oh, wow. I guess that really just, you know, fit in there. So it was one of those things where, you know, she felt compelled to, I guess, make this a cover song. So... yeah, I guess it kind of chose us in a way.
Yeah, I guess we'll listen a little bit to the original just to give a sense, and then we'll listen to your take on it. So let me play...
beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. Understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 choice of men, but I could never love again. He's the only one for me, Jolene. I had to have this talk with you. My happiness depends on you and whatever you decide to do, Jolene.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about kind of the process of the creating the music, and then I'll do while I'm pulling this up.
Oh, absolutely. So, kind of continuing off from what I was describing before, a lot of times I'll send Kaylin an instrumental, and she'll send me back, you know, vocals, synth parts, melodies, and, you know, we kind of we'll both wear the production hat, which is really fun. You know, because you kind of don't know what's going to happen. There's such an infinite range of sounds and such. So we're both always really surprised and both really excited throughout the process. There's a really fun volley that happens. And it's cool because, you know, once the two of us are happy at what we make, you know, in the home studio, we'll incorporate, another engineer. We work with some really great people. Two people we worked with on the EP, Mike McAllister, Abe Seifert, and also co-producer Jamal, who now goes by Radius.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys kind of serve as, like, I call them the higher powers in the situation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these guys have been engineering for, you know, professionally for a really long time, have been, you know, producing some, you know, some legendary acts. So, you know, we'll go into their studio after the fact, and then we'll take, you know, those tracks and, you know, kind of bring them to the next level. And kind of, you know, add all those finishing touches. So it becomes, in the end, like a very collaborative process.
Yeah, so in the performances, you play the bass, I guess, or you play guitar, or tell us a little more about. And then you have, like, a machine that has that infuses the strings through it. Can you tell, like, for those who haven't been to a show, like, how that works? Yeah.
Oh, man, all right. So this is pretty cool. So the instrument I play is known as a bass six. And it's basically the instrument between guitar and bass. It's a sort of hybrid. So
yeah.
I'm able to get guitar frequencies as well as bass frequencies, depending where I am. And that's really cool because, you know, Kaylin and I are just a duo in this group, and it kind of allows me to wear multiple hats without having to switch instruments per se. And then from there, really, the way I'm getting the, you know, different sounds and such is through I got a pedal board I run, and you know, I'm running various effects. I guess the more prominent ones are a delay via Walrus Audio, sub octave via MXR, and of course some dirt and compression via Dark Glass.
Cool. So let's listen to Jolene then.
Your smile is like a breath of spring. Your voice.
I really love the kind of meditative quality almost in some of the songs. Kind of it reminds me a little bit of, as a listener, of kind of what I've been exposed to with Radiohead and such. You know, kind of the most popular, I think, of that kind of genre, would you say? Or I guess they kind of have brought it into a certain thing. But you have some other bands that you know. Like if you had a band that you could open for, I know I was reading that your year-end goal is to open for a band, a wish list of bands you'd love to open for.
Wow, so yeah, there's certainly like quite a wish list, but you know, if I had to go for like, you know, the top few, it'd certainly say a Fanagram's up there, the XX,
uh-huh.
Deftones.
Yeah, good. So let's talk a little bit about shows that you've been doing, your experience doing shows, and meeting people who've been listening to the music. Yeah, how has your experience been like doing shows and such? Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So, you know, it's funny. Like, we didn't really expect to be doing shows so soon.
Uh huh.
You know, because you know this project was born in the studio, which kind of you know it's kind of like you go in reverse almost, and you know a bunch of people reached out to us and then we're like, oh, you know, like you guys got to jump on this bill or you guys got to you know come and you know and play for us, and we were kind of like, well, I guess we got to put together a live show.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we've been working on the most is really just, honing, you know, in our live show and you know, and making the best representation of these tracks live. And, you know, it's cool. It's been really fun. There's a certain energy that I guess you can only harness during the live show. So it's been cool to kind of interact with the audience at that level.
Good. And let's talk a little bit more about the, now you are also a poet.
Yes.
So if you talk a little bit about your training in poetry and how maybe that informs, some of the work here or just in general.
Oh man. Okay. So, I've been writing for most of my life. I studied, poetry at Queens College. Great place. And you know, poetry and like, you know, my background with writing really does inform this project a lot, and particularly from a lyrical standpoint. This is the first time I've sang in a project, as well as contributed lyrics to a musical project. So it was really fun to kind of marry those two sides of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's kind of an actualizing feeling in all of it, because it's like, oh wow, well this is everything I've been doing. Now I'm just doing it at the same time. So there's been a heavy influence of it, and it's cool because a lot of times, you know, I'll pull lyrics from just the instrumental, be inspired by like the sounds, but a lot of times I'll start with lyrics and I'll pull sounds and, you know, sort of, moods from the actual lyrics. So that's been really fun.
Good. So, I understand you, when we talked before, you were saying, Policia is a big influence. I recently saw them, Police and Stargaze, in concert. I played a song of theirs, Degree, on Truth to Power Show in a previous episode. So it's really good. Sweet. So in a few minutes, we'll play Lay Your Cards Out. But
awesome.
Yeah, good, good. So let's see. Yeah, then anything else about the music industry in general, if you want to talk about how your feelings towards different, what your goals are, what your feelings about the music industry and all, you know, now we have so much of this material is becoming more and more accessible to people, which is a good thing and a bad thing. It's a double-edged sword, I guess, you know, when you have such an easy accessibility to all this content. And it's, you know, if you can comment a little bit on that or while I pull up the song.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I feel like this is such a controversial topic right now, but, you know, I guess maybe I'm just optimistic, but the way I see it is, yeah, it's always a double-edged sword. And before the whole changeover, so to speak, happened, you know, we were still dealing with the quote-unquote powers that be, and it was still a struggle from another angle. Yeah. I think that the big advantage that we have now, and the positive right now, is that all the power is in the artist's hands, you know, to a degree, because, you know, you can go and release music whenever you want. You can have, you know, you could write a song in that same day, that song's online by Friday, it's on Spotify.
Yeah.
I think being able to control all your own social media and control the rate at which your music comes out, control all the rights to it. You know, if you hustle hard enough, you know, you can get to a pretty unbelievable place, you know, with that sort of access. So that's my take on it.
Good, good. So let's listen to one of your influences, Polisa.
Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah. So let's focus a little bit more on the, you're talking about the truth. You know, the, one of the themes in the poem, in this show, rather, is, you know, about finding truth and finding ways to empower ourselves. And I really see in your own music, and we'll play, I think, another song from your EP at the end of the program, but real truth in it. And if you could talk a little bit more about, like, how that's empowering and how finding, you know, in the music industry, in my opinion, it seems like, you know, we have such a industry that's manufacturing voices, you know, and not a room for personal individual truth. Yeah.
I totally agree with that. You know, there's a lot of just, you know, kind of cookie cutter, like off the conveyor belt things that are, you know, pretty easy to just put together, like, you know, but I think that, you know, we're certainly bringing a level of honesty with our music. And I think that, you know, it's important right now to bring truth and to bring honesty, because I feel like that that's really how you connect with people. Because, you know, you could tell someone, you know, any story they want, but really at the end of the day, you've really done nothing for them. But I feel like if you could play a song and one person sees themselves in it, can relate to it on a personal level, that song might get them through their day, their month, their year, you know what I mean? So I think that more than ever, it's important to bring truth to music, especially.
Yeah, good, good. And this one, well, the next, we'll listen to one more. I think we have a few more minutes, but I think Caves we'll listen to. If you talk a little bit more about the video. Now, there's a video released on Caves, and I think a few, just Caves, or how many music videos did you create, and a little bit of the music video process?
Oh, man. So so we got an official video for Caves. It was shot by our friend Kino in Gowanus, actually, a couple blocks away from where I live. And it was an incredible experience. You know, it was our first video. And it really got us closer to the music, because we thought, well, like, you know, what's the atmosphere we're seeing when we listen to this song? And, like, where does this song live, so to speak? And, you know, Caves, you know, comes from a really kind of dark and guttural place. So, you know, we literally went into the kind of like machine yards in Gowanus, and we shot in all these really unsafe places. Like, we like climbed over this barge on the Gowanus Canal, and like Kaylin's hanging off this like buoy.
Wow.
And it was like, it got like truly intense. So I feel like we captured some really awesome stuff.
Yeah, and also I saw the notation on the video that some of the shots were filmed in Cuba, or I think that they integrated some of the Kaylin's trip to Cuba.
Yes.
Yeah, it's such an interesting juxtaposition, you know, of the scene, because I did notice one of the cars, the classic cars in the shot. I was looking for something very Cuba-esque in that shot, and I just see the classic car that sometimes we see in I haven't been to Cuba, but, you know, I think that we're most recognizable, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was another cool component. Kaylin actually shot some of the footage herself when she was out in Cuba. It was inspired by this one particular scene, and that became kind of like a repetitive reel during the hook of the song.
Good, good. So I'll play Caves now, okay?
Changing for a groove and a dance.
Okay, so we can talk a little bit more about kind of what you're listening to now and any shows you've been to recently of your peers or that you want to plug or that you want to talk about.
Oh, man. So stuff I'm listening to now.
Yeah.
Wow, it's a crazy question.
Yeah. I always get a sense of what people are consuming. I think we're in a culture that's so easily, there's so much stuff out there that, you know, it's good to know what's coming into us, you know?
I absolutely agree with that. So one thing, I've been listening to a lot of instrumental music.
Uh-huh.
There's this band right now called Talk that I really like. T-A-U-K. And it's interesting. It's like real kind of psychedelic, but like real groove heavy type music. And like, I don't know, like music that helps me relax and kind of think.
Yeah.
And kind of like, I don't know, I guess be creative, you know, while still like relaxing, I guess. And then besides that, I've been listening to a lot of rap. I don't know, like I've been super influenced by hip hop lately, you know, especially in like Death by Piano, all the, you know, the beats and such, and kind of trap elements. So like, I guess like rappers I've been listening to lately, ASAP Rocky, Schoolboy Q, and like, I'm trying to think, it's like some super new, really cool rapper, XXXTentacion, really cool, really cool stuff. Like, cause it'll go from real hard rap to like almost like radio hooks, you know?
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like, I don't know, anything, any kind of juxtaposition like that, I think is really exciting. And then like, yeah, I've kind of just been all over the place music wise. And then like, you know, in terms of like bands I'd want to plug.
Yeah.
You know, definitely check out The Moor, Dollhouse, check out The Amateur Murder. Trying to think who else. That's a good place to start.
Yeah,
a lot of great music coming out of Brooklyn right now.
Yeah, and what about in general, like anything you're consuming, you know, on shows or books or anything that catches your eye, that anything, any other ways in which you consume materials or information or anything that you want to throw out there or talk about?
Oh man, TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Like a lot of TV I watch is like on Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really into, like, I don't even care. I'm really into WWE.
Yeah.
Like there's something, I don't know what it is. I've been watching it since I was five.
Yeah.
But I'm really into WWE.
Yeah. It's something very like theatrical about it and very like over the top, you know?
Yes.
That's like almost a very interesting, like, for me, it's like a piece of theater, you know?
It truly is.
Yeah. Yeah. I discovered the show Counterpart, which I thought I'd plug. It's on Stars and it's really interesting. It's got, deals with, it almost has like an alternate reality. Like, it's a guy meets his, double from another, version of this reality.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty intense, but, you know, I think that a lot of times even the shows, the atmosphere of the show seems to be inform kind of the post Matrix, you know, kind of in the arts now, we kind of seem to be going towards like appreciation of meta realities and
yes.
And self referential realities and stuff like that. I almost feel like those kinds of genres are very in tune with your aesthetic. You know, it's like because it seems like it's very like the dark wave and all that has a very in tune with meta reality and with meta music, maybe, you know.
Wow. I would definitely agree with you on that, you know. I think there's a lot of the music is meta. Like, you know, there's a lot of times I feel like in the song where, you know, like I'm in the story, but I'm like, I'm looking at myself, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of this like almost out of body thing, you know, and like I kind of see myself like up, you know, up on a peak somewhere and I'm almost being like, you know, watch out, you know.
Yeah. Because this seems to be like some narrative threads. Although when I'm listening to the music, it takes a little while, re-listens to get to that, to those places where you're really hearing because for me, as a listener in your music, you know, the beat and the vocals come through. And then I listen again and I'm like getting to that place where I'm finding the characters and the little narrative threads, which especially in Caves and in Countdown, where you find those kind of places of the... Yeah, I've talked a little bit about that and how you kind of how that maybe that those narrative threads are influenced by your poetry.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Caves, talk about Caves a little bit. Caves is interesting, you know, in terms of its narrative. Because I wrote the chorus part, or the hook, if you will, first. And I sent the song to Kaylin, you know, with just the hook on it. So she had, you know, my melody and lyrics. And then she wrote her part, you know, I guess it was almost like in response to what I had done. And it was interesting because she had a unique perspective and I had a unique perspective. But there was this through line through it all somehow. And, you know, I guess, you know, some common themes that we both shared.
Yeah, I noticed on the YouTube video, when I looked at the lyrics to Have Them Renowned, there was a little asterisk that said something about M-Train from, like, a line was taken from Patti Smith's M-Train. Can you tell a little bit about that?
Oh, yes. So so Kaylin actually sampled or derived some of the lyrics from some Patti Smith's M-Train. And it was interesting because when I first heard it, you know, I couldn't tell what part was sampled because it was all so fluid.
Yeah.
So it was almost as if she took a bit of the desperation and kind of like energy from Patti Smith and kind of propelled herself into the song that way. So that was pretty cool.
Interesting. So we'll take a moment to listen to in a second too. But first, I was going to listen to Fantagram. Nothing But Trouble. So yes. How did that song influence you or this group? And is it more along the lines of, can you tell us a little bit about that? Or
yeah. Oh, man. So yeah, this is a really important song. It's interesting. This is one of the songs that I heard when I was first getting inspired to do a project like this. And it's something, you know, there is this something about the vibe, you know, it told me, like, you know, you just got to go and do what you want to do and not really worry about the repercussions so much. And, like, I don't mean that in terms of, like, you know, my real life context. I mean, like, musically. But you know, like, you know, you got to take some risks and you have to get a little bit wild. So, you know, so this track in particular kind of gave me some inspiration and I guess some courage to kind of take that plunge.
Good. Let's go listen to it. So now you're going to be having a, now since your EP came out today, you'll be having a show coming up. I think it's May 2nd, you said?
Yes, May 2nd.
At Our Wicked Lady?
That's the spot.
Good, good. So they can go to deathofyourpianonyc.com, I think, to find out more. And you have some shirts and such available. I got the shirt on right now.
Nice.
Death by Piano. So we have a few more minutes, and then we can talk a little bit more about what's next for you and how you're evolving and how this whole process of, you know, show playing and doing the process has changed your sound or maybe evolved into something. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, man. So, you know, sorry about that. You know, playing shows has already influenced us a lot. You know, for one thing, our music is, you know, totally derived from, you know, digital beats and programming.
Mm.
And playing live made us want to incorporate, I guess, more of the organic elements. You know, for one thing, you know, we're playing live, you know, bass and keys and synth. But now we're like, oh, maybe incorporating a live drummer could be a cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, and like kind of like opening up the show like that. So
it's been interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like it's interesting what happens when you take something live. Like it starts to kind of take on a life of its own.
Yeah. Like I was mentioning with Plesia, they joined with Stargaze, which is they did like an orchestral component to it.
Wow.
So they had them. The lead singer was like had the pedal where she was manipulating the tech aspects of it or the beat aspects, and then you had the full like orchestra behind her. It was like 12 people on the stage. It was pretty crazy, you know.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see you guys team up with maybe an orchestral set and do something similar. You know, it'd be so amazing. You know,
that would be the best thing ever.
Yeah. So what any other goals you have as far as like benchmarks or things you're looking for, you know, kind of to push yourselves?
Oh, man. That's a really good question. I guess like, you know, like immediate goals are just, you know, getting this EP out to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, to continue to get, you know, it's been getting a really positive response so far. So, you know, hopefully that keeps coming in. And I guess like, you know, further from that is to, you know, find our way onto a national, you know, bill of some sort, you know, and to start to play out, you know, across the country.
Good, good. That'd be great. I really, you know, hope that happens. And I think that it will because your sound is so powerful. And for me as a listener, I think it really is quite moving. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. So, any other closing thoughts you want to say, or we can listen to another song and we can just, we have a few more minutes, but just a few more minutes and then.
Oh man, closing thoughts. You know, I guess, you know, in the spirit of like this EP and everything, you know, it's certainly great to be here. And I thank my bandmate who couldn't make it today, Kaylin.
Yeah.
You know, for trusting me and for being, you know, a really good friend and collaborator through this. And I guess like to like anyone listening, you know, I wouldn't have gotten here if I hadn't listened to myself and I hadn't allowed myself to be myself, and nothing more than that. You know, amazing things happen when you you just do what you think is cool and you stop listening to, you know, everyone else around you.
Great, great. So I just want to tell listeners, thank you so much for that. And tell listeners that Choose Your Power Show is every Thursday at 9 a.m. And this is on RadioFreeBrooklyn.com or on the, you can download the app to your iPhone or Android and listen to it, you know, at 9 a.m. on Thursdays every time. Or you can listen to it on Podomatic, which is another platform. It's pretty much available on Podomatic, iTunes, and I'm uploading it to Mixcloud. So shortly it'll be fully uploaded to Mixcloud, in which case Mixcloud is doing a best of. So, like, they're doing the best of. So they have a nomination available for the best talk shows, best online radio platforms. So if you've been enjoying this talk, please go to Mixcloud.com and just figure out, you know, on my page on Facebook, VGR Nathan Poet, you'll find a link to the nomination form. So I hope everyone will nominate either Truth to Power show as the best online talk show, or Radio Free Brooklyn as the best online platform. And you can follow me on Facebook at VGR Nathan Poet, as I mentioned, and Twitter, Truth to Power Show. And in that case, it's the number two is in there. And then if you'd like to be a guest, or if you know someone who'd like to be a guest, write to truthtopowershow@gmail.com. So, yeah, I think that's about it. And then also I just want to mention that, you know, Radio Free Brooklyn is a nonprofit organization, and we rely on listeners like you. It sounds a little bit like PBS's talk, but, you know, we rely on listeners like you to support this station and to give a global voice to local Brooklyn and independent artists. We're a neighborhood station, so I hope you'll go to radioforbrooklyn.com and try out the Patreon method, which is a way to donate or sponsor this show, or radioforbrooklyn.com/truth-to-power. And you know, you can just donate like a dollar or two to the monthly cost of upkeeping the show. So it'd be great to have your support, or even just write in and tell us, you know, what you think. Tell me or your favorite guests and all this kind of stuff. So I'll have a dialogue and I'll read some of the emails on air. So thanks so much, Jay. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Change can.
I will give. But in time.